Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
Yo, what's up, everybody? The Listen Up Boys are back, man. Welcome. This is the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy, Brandon.
This is Sam.
Yo. Hey, man. College football season is here. We actually got some games yesterday. Man, I actually enjoyed watching Hawaii and some other teams. Actually, what's funny is the St. Thomas Aquinas game had my attention probably more than any of the other college football games. Then I went and checked out Little League football. Man, it just felt good just to kind of see football again all over the map, man.
Yeah, yes.
At all levels.
Yes, football can come back and save the world again. You know how
yeah,
that
give
goes.
Us a little distraction. Yeah.
You know, football always saves the world.
It always seems like it comes, but it stays. It goes too quickly. I guess because the season's so short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, man, we got this from now to December. Next thing you know, it'd be December, season over with. We back complaining for the next. You know what I mean? We back complaining for the next however many months.
Yeah, you know, it's been a minute since we've been on, man. And that's really been all my fault. Life has been everywhere, man. It's been crazy, dude. This Delta hitting hard, man. So, you know, I'm happy to be back, though. I'm really happy to be back. I know we were supposed to have part last weekend, but then my schedules got crossed up again. So it's been rough, and I know you making a move right now. You literally in the middle of a move.
Literally, man. If y'all could see my house, that's why it's just a blank wall. All on the other side of this camera is chaos, man. It's couches everywhere. I got boxes everywhere, man. I'm literally in the middle of a move, headed back to Duval, man. I got to get back home, man. So Georgia was fun. I like Augusta, man. I love the people here. Everybody's been great, but Duval is home, man. So I was glad to be able to make that move, kind of, you know, step away from some things. But I'm also glad to be coming back home, man. But we told you, I think at the end of the last time we recorded, we don't have a big production budget. You know what I mean? If somebody gets sick, if something happened, you know what I mean? We got to step back. You know what I mean? As much as we love to give you these podcasts, we also understand, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally just me and Sam. You know what I mean? So, you know, we can grab some fill-in guests every now and then. But I felt like, you know, just with everything that was going on, I was like, man, it's really nothing that's happening that ain't everybody else ain't covering it. Because again, we're not in competition with nobody. We support all the other podcasts. So it was like, y'all get y'all fixed from them boys, and then we'll come back at it strong. So So we here now, man.
Dude, it's hold on, man. Reggie talking about, man. We gonna get Reggie on the pod.
Reggie talking about, already?
Yeah, man, get Reggie. We got to delete that comment. Reggie talking about Rich, man. Y'all got to start it.
Reggie, what's that? Oh, man, I missed it.
Yeah. But what we supposed to talk about today? Oh, we doing expectations for the season.
Yep.
We doing wins and losses.
Yep.
we doing wins and losses, man. And we just going to I guess we just going to have an overall like college football conversation. Who we think going to win? I think Georgia's going to take it this year.
Take what?
National championship.
Man. Oh, man, that's where we start. Oh, man, that's where we finna start. No. Nah, we going to bury that one. There ain't no way in the world I'm finna wait, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Man,
oh,
listen.
Oh, another thing for the season two, Reggie already over, but we're going to have Reggie going to be on a live show, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have Dalt back for the live show again after every game.
After the games? Yeah, the post-reaction.
Yeah, after the game, because those things go hard, man. So, you know, we're going to bring that back.
It's going to be a lot of liquor and a lot of shit talking, straight up.
Yeah. We got to get through these six losses.
Six. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Talk about that too, then, I guess.
Yeah, man. Georgia. I think Georgia got the team this year.
Nope. I ain't diving into that. We're gonna get to it. Listen, we're gonna get to it. But there's no way in the world I'm putting money on the Georgia Bulldogs to do anything.
Gotta have a little faith, man. I think the Bulldogs pull off this year.
Man, Georgia had the best team ever and still lose to Florida by 2 touchdowns every year. Right. Every time they had the best season, they'll lose to Florida by 2 touchdowns. Okay. I don't trust Georgia at all.
Okay.
Not even a little bit. I don't mess with Georgia. But listen, I'm not down.
So where you want to start? Let's start with the end of camp. Let's start the end of camp and what we're hearing out of the end of camp. I know I got you know, people got mad at me because I made some comments about Parchman probably being wide receiver 3 right now. I think he's wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 right now.
Y'all gonna say I heard 4, but
and McKenzie probably is not gonna be the starter. Jordan Travis is gonna be the starter.
Yep.
Man, so where you want to start it with all that? Because I think those are big things. Those are pretty significant things to me. Because I think the idea was we were going to upgrade the position, which I think Jordan Travis is a. I think he's upgraded himself. I think he's gotten better. You know what I'm saying? Like, no doubt about it. But
so yeah, I'm gonna say. So let's start with the quarterback positions, right? Because I guess that is the most important one. Jordan. I mean, everything we've heard, Jordan Travis had a great camp. Jordan Travis appears to be the starter, and I guess what does that mean for McKenzie Milton, right? Mm-hmm. What it says is McKenzie Milton, I guess, clearly wasn't back yet. Or it says Jordan Travis has improved his game so much as a passer to where they're basically saying the ability we're going to get with this, again, the line is going to be much improved, but it's still this offensive line. You know what I mean? It's average, I think, at best. So now with average offensive line, you got the mobility of Jordan Travis. And if he's improved his throwing to where between McKenzie Milton and Jordan Travis, there's not very much difference in it, I think it's an easy decision in my opinion.
Yeah. See, this is the problem, right? I think McKenzie Milton, I never believed McKenzie Milton was going to play. Remember, I kept saying that. I was like, all right, man, I don't, man. That,
yeah.
Because that injury was so – that injury was just so devastating, dude. It was such a devastating injury. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't know how you build your coach.
Hard to bounce back from it.
Yeah. Right. And then even with them putting him on a pitch count, from what I'm hearing, how do you build your culture if you're the QB1 isn't practicing every day? Like, you can't really build. You can't say, I need everybody to work as hard as possible, go as hard as possible, and then you got the other guy at the training table, like, 3 times out the week. You can't really. You know what I'm saying? It's just difficult to do that.
Yeah.
The one thing I do think, though, man, I do think it was, like, hella disrespectful, though, to kind of put Milton out there like that the whole offseason.
What you mean?
Even with the NIL deal, even with the, like, taking him to the ACC media days, I just think that just, like.
Well, I said the same thing. I thought it put him in a bad position as a team, right?
Yeah.
Because I think, again, the transfer portal is big news. It's big business right now. And so you got to keep some of these transfers happy if you want to continue to get guys to come into your program, even with spots.
Right.
So I'm looking at it even from a larger perspective, right? I say we don't offensive linemen getting beat out by transfer offensive linemen getting beat out by guys who've been here. You got McKenzie Milton probably not going to be the starter, not seeing much playing time. Yeah. Parchman's looking at like he's wide receiver 4. I'm saying there's a lot of transfers that came in that may not see the field. And, like, how does that bode well for the future of Florida State just getting transfers? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, all these players know each other. All these players talk.
Yeah.
And so when I'm looking at it, I'm saying, man, they paraded McKenzie Milton as if he was the bell cow of this, you know, this transfer class. And, shoot, the bell cow of this team. He's the leader of your team.
Right.
And then for him to get in and for him to not be starting and to kind of be, like you said, babied a little bit and coddled, it's kind of like –
I don't want to use the word baby and Carter because I think he really is hurt. Like, I really do think he has a significant injury.
I guess my question is, at what point, when does he not be hurt? Because you don't want, if I'm Mike Norvell, Mike Norvell took the time to go and recruit McKenzie Milton.
Yeah.
If you didn't know 100% that this guy could play, then you just wasted a transfer.
Yeah, but I think he felt like it made the quarterback room better just having him in the room. You know what I'm saying?
Why would you bring in the why do you bring in the media day? Why, you know what I'm saying? I don't think they brought him in as, all right, this is just gonna be some guy we're gonna keep around the team because he's good. He's a good look for the program. I believe they really wanted. You know what I mean? They really thought he was gonna start. Now again, is that misevaluation of Jordan Travis?
And then a
misevaluation of McKenzie Miller.
And then even with the Jordan Travis thing, and I mean, I'm not finna be like a Debbie Downer with it, because I think his offense to reach his full potential has to run the football, right? So,
and I think they run block well.
But my thing is this: man, we don't see a lot of quarterbacks get crazy better throwing the football. You know, usually I'm not saying you're a finished product, but you pretty damn close to finish by the time you get to college, right? And it's a lot of fine tuning that goes on. So, and it's like, and I'm trying not to be negative, but it's like, how much better of a passer is Jordan Travis? Is he a better passer because we see him throw the ball every day now? And there's nobody throwing behind him but Chubba? You know, now we hyping Chubba up, saying Chubba's way better than he was last year, and I'm not saying he's not, you know. But I guess it's kind of hard to decipher all this stuff because it's kind of like, is Jordan Travis throwing the ball better now because McKenzie Milton is not going to be able to play like that? He might play in some spots, but he's not going to be the guy that we can rely on. Yeah, is that why Jordan Travis is better? Or is Chubba better because he's going to have to probably be the backup? You know what I'm saying? Or is he really better? You know? That's what we don't know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is it possible it's all smoke and mirrors?
So,
because here's the thing. We've seen a lot of crazy footage come out of camp. I mean, we have seen, I talked to Ben, and you had this conversation when we talked.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they keep putting out the clips they put out. Like, it's the worst clips possible. I mean, it's just ducks. We see McKenzie Milton throw up all sorts of crazy ducks that look like, you know what I mean, passes that look like punts. Throwing in a double cover. Like, they don't put out, I mean, we seeing DBs getting shook. I mean, we don't see nothing good. I haven't seen a good highlight come out of camp yet. You know what I mean? From all the people who watch the team every day, I haven't seen a good highlight come out. So my thing is this all just some sort of like, you know what I mean, like a larger play? You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, we gonna hype up Jordan, you know, we gonna make everybody believe that. But in the end of the day, you know, so Notre Dame's preparing for Jordan Travis and then McKenzie Milton play out.
Nah, I think Jordan Travis is your quarterback. I think he's your quarterback. I think he's been your quarterback for a while. I don't really – every time you talk to somebody about these practices, I keep hearing the same thing.
Okay? Same,
you know, Jordan Travis taking most of the snaps, and then you hear – and you keep hearing, like, Helton has been probably the best wide receiver. Cam McDonald's been really, really good in camp, which I expected Cam. I said last year I would – probably devised most of my fucking offensive game plan around throwing the ball to Helton and Cam McDonald. Now, granted, Helton wasn't healthy last year, but I thought he was playing better than all the other wide receivers, him and Ontario Wilson. So
right.
I kind of good and went into the season thinking Ontario Wilson number two, Helton number three, Cam McDonald one, or Parchman one.
Parchman one.
Well, we'll get into the Parchman situation later. But I'm kind of throwed off a little bit because I know that Helton is a 1,000-yard receiver in college football. Helton is more like in a good offense, maybe he's a 700-yard wide receiver, but a 1,000-yard receiver, he's not. Cam McDonald, I like Cam McDonald. I would, like I said, I would run a lot of double tights personally in two wide receivers with 11 personnel. That's what I would do. But I am concerned, man, because I thought that this team could hit the ceiling of like 7 and maybe 8 wins if Parchman really was QB1 and if
wide receiver one.
Yeah, wide receiver one. And McKenzie Milton was QB1. Because I thought, well, that's enough experience that you can lean on those type of guys, right?
Right.
And they're, you know, supposedly, you know, Milton had a lot of talent when he's at UCF, man. But it is kind of scary times when you really think about it. Because if you get into a situation where you have to play Chubba, which.
I mean, so you tell him, hold on. When you say, why would we end up playing Chubba?
I just don't. I
mean, you telling me McKenzie Milton is like not playing at all? So in other words, it's Jordan Travis and McKenzie Milton just kind of here for moral support, holding the clipboard.
I think that there's a reason why Cho's being talked up. You know, I don't think it's coincidence. Nah. I don't think it's coincidence, Brandon. Like seriously, think
no
about
man,
it.
I'm not wrapping my head around it. I hear what you're saying. I'm just not wrapping my head around it. Like it's hard for me to believe that McKenzie Milton is somehow falling off the depth chart completely, right? And that he's third string or whatever. Again, it's hard for me to go to. Like, I believe McKenzie Milton probably has not outplayed Jordan Travis because I think Jordan Travis brings something different to the game. He's, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you a question. If Notre Dame is week one, right?
Right.
And you know you got to get ready for Notre Dame and you feel like, damn, Notre Dame don't lost a lot. We played them. We didn't play them close, but, you know, we was in the game in the third quarter.
It was tough. Yeah.
It was tough, right? And you like, damn, I got all this recruiting momentum. All I got to do is win one game. If I win this one Notre Dame game, the rest of the season really won't even matter because it'll be like, people like, yo, when they was fully healthy, you know, at their peak, they beat Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
why would you be repping Chubb and Rudermaker? Why would you be repping them for weeks at a time? It's almost been 2 weeks even they've been talking about them. Like, why would you be repping them like that? And I'm not saying
again,
like.
I think it's, without saying the whole
when
practice,
we
I'm
ever
telling
heard,
I just
when
think.
When have we ever heard a practice report about J.J. Constantine and Jacob Coker?
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, I think, either you right or this is one of the biggest, like, I don't even know what you call it. Like, these, I honestly don't believe that what we're being told and what we're being shown is actually what's happening. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe that they just putting out stuff. Oh, man, here's this clip of J.J. Here's this clip of J.J. Here's this clip of Chubba. We, you know, I honestly don't believe that's what we're seeing. You know what I'm saying? I think without me actually seeing the practices, I can't say for sure. I know based on what I'm seeing is these are the worst clips I've ever seen put out. I don't understand why they're being put out. And based on everything I'm hearing, we've both heard the same thing. Jordan Travis looks like he's going to be the starting quarterback. But I haven't heard that, you know, Mackenzie Milton ain't going to play at all. I honestly think they're going to give him some plays from time to time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I honestly believe there will be a series here or there that Mackenzie Milton will come in and play, and they'll probably have Jordan Travis on the field. I think they got some packages for Mackenzie. I think for no reason whatsoever. I mean, I think for no other reason than to keep your transfers happy. You talked about Parchment, we can dive into it. For me, I honestly think Parchment not being here in the spring hurt him a little bit, right? Because he's now coming in, learning a brand new offense, and he's only had this fall time. So for me, I think it for him, it hurts a lot. You know what I mean? It hurts a lot more than everybody else.
All right.
And so when you say I'm actually planning on shooting him some bail. I think if he's out here, if you tell me he's third right now, I think by week two or three, he probably is your number one. Mm-hmm. I think he developed, you know what I mean? As he gets more comfortable in offense, he sees how the game goes. Just in my opinion, what I've seen, I think his upside is higher than the other ones. And he didn't have the spring to kind of get familiar with the other receivers,
right,
get familiar with the quarterback. And then I imagine he probably was working with Mackenzie Milton all offseason too. You know what I mean? And now you got Jordan Travis. That's honestly, it's two different quarterbacks. One of these guys is a rhythm thrower. You know what I mean? He's going to throw you out your cut. Another guy, you might have to scramble around a little bit, and then you might get hit. You know what I mean? Then you might have to. So it is a different style in the two different quarterbacks. So in my opinion, I think I'm going to shoot Parchment some bail, and I think he's going to end up being, you know, all right, probably number one or number two receiver, I say, you know, two or three games into it.
So, okay, I'm going to say this about Parchment, and people got mad at me about the whole Parchment take or whatever, but I'm going to just say this. Do wide receivers not transfer other programs and start day one?
Absolutely.
Do they not come in during the summer? If you've 100%. Been on a college campus, if you play college football for 3 years, you understand college defense. Like, that's the hardest thing to learn from high school to college. You have to learn college defenses, right? You have to learn when to cut your route off, when to break in. And yet, every route is offense is different with sight adjustments and things like that. But at the same time, you're not putting a high school player, a player straight from high school that came in during the summer, and asking him to play. Like, Rashad Green did not come in the spring when he got to Florida State. He came in the summer.
Right. Rashad.
And then when you hear when you hear things like he get down on himself. He drops a lot of balls and gets down on himself. Well, that don't sound like a wide receiver one. That sound like a guy that's just like all the other guys.
Man, I don't know about that. I mean, just from wide receivers are always hard on themselves.
Then,
they always,
and,
like, you know, the drops are contagious, man. We've seen it, man. It really is. Like, one dude start dropping passes, next you know, you trying to focus. The coaches is yelling about dropping passes. I don't think it's as simple as, you know what I mean, he get down on himself and he start dropping balls. I think every player. That's why I always say Urban Meyer in college was one of the best ever, just because his psychology of it. He had, you know what I mean? He had these guys understand it. Hey, man, that's one drop. Get over it. Let's go. Move on to the next play. And he was able to talk to the psychology of to not let this snowball on. I don't know how good, you know what I mean, Mike Norvell is at being able to kind of talk these guys out of it, getting out of their head. Because I think I think it happens with running backs and fumbles. I think it happens in every level. I think you kind of start thinking about it more, and the more you think about it, the more it happens. So I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm not going to say that. Reggie saying, you know what I mean, he's a terror that can catch the ball on both sides of the field. I kind of agree. Again, that's from what we've seen, that's what he is. I'm not going to get – I said I'm shooting some bail. I'm saying this is a new system. It's a new offense. He may not have came in the best shape he thought he was or whatever it is. Maybe he thought it was going to be easy. These guys, hey, man, they ain't number dogs over there. I don't know what he was told. So you're going to come out here and start easily. So he came, maybe he took it lightly or whatever, and then these guys, everybody improved. And right. So I don't know. What I do know is I think he can play based on everything I've seen. No, I still think he has the most talent than anybody on the team. And so for me, I'm rocking with him until he shows me otherwise. That you know what I mean? I really do think as he gets time, he gets developed and he gets some confidence. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Do it in the game. Let him get a big catch early in the Notre Dame game. Right. I think he then, like you said, that builds confidence. And now he's not the same. You know what I mean? And now he's now become, you know, Jordan Travis's favorite target. And now we're saying, all right, well, look at this guy. You know what I mean? Look at him move. Look at him play. Look at him. All right. Wow. These routes are much more crisp. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe, like, he's Terry. I just think he's more polished. We've seen him run better routes. We've seen him make the tough catches. All the things that we was like, dang, Terry should be able to do these things. I think he's that. But I just think it's going to take him a little bit of time, man. That's the only thing.
Okay. I'm just going to say.
And, yes, you are. You know, I'm not telling you wrong that guys don't come in week one. That guys don't come in week one and they start. I'm just saying, get them at some time. I know Reggie tells me stop shooting the bell. I'm gonna shoot.
I guess, but my problem is, I understand giving some time. I'm okay with that. My thing is, I think in order for us really to secure this recruiting class and for Mike really mm-hmm. to make some type of real hay, I think that if you have Parchment up to speed, ready to go game one, mm-hmm. right? Then you have a legit solid deep threat in that first game. And I think I believe they're gonna beat Notre Dame. I believe they can beat Notre Dame. I don't think it's impossible like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I wanna see them beat Notre Dame so that way we can make good on this recruiting. Cause I mean that's gonna be a big recruiting weekend, it's gonna be the bottom Dude. Weekend. I think if you can win that game, but I think you do need Parchment. If you're telling me Malik McClain, the true freshman, is gonna be the best wide receiver on the field, I mean the best wide receiver for Florida State. Well, we're going to have a problem because game speed and practice speed are two totally different things, and it takes wide receivers a while. Now, maybe McClain is fucking Julio Jones. I don't know. He could be that.
He could be.
No, I'm not saying
he's flash.
He's not. I'm saying he could fucking be Julio Jones. I don't know that. But going into a game saying my true freshman is going to be the best wide receiver on my team, and we got to
– We've heard that.
That's going to be like that's not a good scenario. That's not really where you want to be at, you know what I'm saying, to pull off a big-time upset. Then let's get to the other transfer. You got Givens, Andrew Gibson, who is in a dog fight with Dante Lucas. They don't know exactly where they're going to put him at yet. Do you think he starts?
No, I think Dante Lucas starts. I mean, but again, based on what we talked about, I mean, it's looking like Dante Lucas again, all could change in a week. I've been saying I have no idea what we're being told and what we've been shown in practice is real. It does look like though Dante Lucas gets that start.
And see that kind of bothers me a little bit, right? But at the same time, I think Dante Lucas last year was the most talented lineman we had, and I also think he's still the most talented lineman.
I don't care to say, we've been saying that for years. Everybody had dogged Dante Lucas, and we've been saying for the longest. Dante Lucas has a lot of talent. He plays with a lot of heart. He has a lot of passion. And I know that rubs people the wrong way, and he gets some stupid penalties. He's going to say some things. I like the passion. You know what I mean? I want to see more dogs. You know what I mean? I want to see more guys who are going to, you know, yell at some people and maybe throw some – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's not happy with losing. You know what I mean? Right. Losing bothers certain – you know what I mean? Certain top athletes, losing bothers those guys. You know what I'm saying? And so, again, I think he's struggled at times, yeah. But I do think he has the passion and he wants it a lot. And I want that guy on there. And so I was surprised, you know, when – because basically everything we heard, he had been down. Mm-hmm. But to hear that, you know, it looks like he's going to win that starting spot, I'm saying good for Lucas. But like you said, I think it may be a little bit concerning.
Yeah, I think it's concerning. I mean, I think we do got college-ready bodies that'll be better at the guard position, right? I think they got college-ready mm-hmm. bodies. And that's important, man. But, man, I don't know, man. Like, did we bring in guys just to be guys or – like, you know what I'm saying?
I think we brought in.
To, we just I think we brought in an 85-man roster. Like, what are we? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going see, on?
And see that, and that's the thing, man. I see that's the thing, right? And I'm trying.
If we'd have got Kane Madden, that dude's an automatic starter, right? You plug, play, let's go.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
You know, Gibson's fighting for his job. You know, may get the job, may not get the job. Now, Wiggs says because all the players that we said we need to get rid of have gotten better now. You know what I'm saying? So all those players that we didn't need anymore, we got to get rid of these players. They just got so much better now. And that's why these other guys can't beat them, which I'm actually okay with that.
If that's really the case,
right,
yeah.
Right, we can live in that, right? We can live in that, right? That's fine, yeah. You know. But it does – it's kind of concerning because I would like – I think on the defensive side, they kind of hit it out the park with some of those transfers on the defensive side. I think some of those guys are going to fit pretty good.
Yep.
I'm not big on Kiera Thomas, but some people are. And I'm not going to – trash Kiera Thomas. Maybe he will be as good as everybody say he's gonna be. I don't know. So we'll see on the Kiera Thomas. But I'm a little concerned that Gibson may not be starting.
I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm concerned about him not starting.
But Dante Lucas could be better though. Dante Lucas.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because I agree. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I'm not concerned about him starting. I'm concerned about, you know, you looking like it's 0-for-3 on your offensive transfers. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm concerned about. You know what I mean? Like, again, if Gibson, Milton, and Parchman are not starting,
right?
Then what we doing here? You know what I'm saying? Like, then what we doing here? You know what I mean? Those are three spots we could have found for other people. You know what I'm saying? Gibbons, thank you. If Gibbons not starting, what we doing here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and so, again, it's good depth, I guess. You know what I mean? Lucas get hurt or whatever it is, mm-hmm. then you bring in another body. And so it definitely helps for us the depth. But I thought, from my opinion, you know, we were bringing in better guys. We were upgrading the talent. That was the purpose. That's why the projections were, mm-hmm. okay, they'll be better than last year because we were supposedly upgrading the position that we were weaker at.
And something else that's kind of troublesome, too, Gibson left Notre Dame, and Notre Dame got a bunch of freshmen starting the offensive line. Now, granted, Notre Dame has recruited the shit out of the offensive line. There's a lot of great freshmen. A lot of great freshmen at Notre Dame starting on the line of scrimmage, man. But are freshmen, and they did send his ass packing. Like, he did leave. You know what I'm saying? So that does bother me a little bit.
I ain't even going to listen. All right, let's turn this around, man. Let's jump into the season.
I want to get into
this. Matter of fact, let's jump into this Notre Dame game.
Let me say something real quick. Reggie compared Parchman to Terry. It I'm gonna tell you something. Terry and Parchman stats ain't even close. Like Terry had 2018. Terry had 744 yards, 35 receptions, and 8 touchdowns. That was his first time playing college football, like starting for a whole season. Parchman best season was 65 catches, 829 yards, 7 touchdowns. I'm not gonna go into what Terry did in 2019 because we know he had a good year in 2019. I mean, he had like almost 1,200 yards.
I mean,
9
again,
touchdowns.
Terry's talent was crazy.
Yeah, but I don't think we can compare Terry and Parchman.
I'm just talking about one for ones. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Terry was supposed to be a one. Parchman was supposed to be a one. I'm not even talking about playing style. I think again, I'm just talking because again, Terry was lazy. He could only catch on one side of the field.
Yeah, that's true.
He ran poor routes.
Yeah, but
all those things. You know what I'm saying?
The one thing he could do, he could do it really, really well though.
He could, well, that go route when he was going, and if he had you beat, he was gonna beat. I don't even think it's the same. I'm talking about just ones for ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Parchman's supposed to be a one, and he should be.
Right, right. Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe he'll get there, maybe he won't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's dive into this Notre Dame game, man.
Okay.
You said you believe they're gonna win. I guess my question is, I'm gonna ask you why.
Okay, for one, I actually think we got the edge at quarterback, right? That dude, Jack Cohen, is not good, man. That dude that mm-hmm. that transferred from Wisconsin is not good.
Wisconsin quarterbacks are never good.
It's not good. The only problem, man, and this is the only problem we got, linebackers. Because if our linebackers is not ready to fill those gaps, man, it's going to be just like it was last year. Them boys running untouched.
Running it down the throat. Yep.
And I got to believe for game one, I got to believe any competent fucking defensive coordinator and defensive staff can get his team ready to play one physical football game. I got to believe it. And Florida State did do some things on special teams against Notre Dame last year, right? So I'm thinking maybe we could do some special team shit again this year. I think we're going to score points against their defense. They got a fairly new defense. Norvell has kind of had pretty good games against Marcus Freeman when he played against him at Cincinnati when he was at Memphis. So I think they can score enough points. And I don't think Notre Dame's going to be able to score a lot of points this year, man. They got a lot of moving pieces this year, man. A lot of moving pieces. And FSU, I don't know. I feel like we need this damn game, dude. I feel like this is a really like a fucking defining game for FSU. And I think they can win the game. Because I think they're going to split either the Notre Dame. I think they're going to split the Notre Dame and Wake Forest game. I think they're going to win one, lose one. I don't know which one it is. All right, go. And go without talking about Adam Fuller.
No. We're going to go right there. Because you said competent defensive coordinator should be able to game plan.
And staff. Right.
So that would include Adam Fuller, Coach Marv, the furniture.
No sag Marv.
That's the competent group, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the competent group, yeah.
Okay. So any competent group should be able to. Here's the problem. I would like to believe where you believe, and that's what you gave me is a whole lot of faith. And man, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Right. You know, it's Sunday morning, mustard seed faith and all that good stuff for y'all, you know, who headed to church after this podcast. All I'm saying is I have zero reason under the sun to believe that this defense is somehow going to be what you've said is competent. I have not seen the defensive coordinator be competent in games all last season.
Yeah.
I have not seen the linebackers be competent all last season. All I can say is I think the D-line may be a little bit improved just based on, you know what I mean, the transfer, you know what I mean, some transfers and stuff. But, I mean.
And then another thing I'm kind of concerned about, and I like Jermaine Johnson. I think Jermaine Johnson might be really good, man. But I don't know if he's a main piece of a great defense or is he a complementary piece on a good defense. You know what I'm saying? If that makes sense.
No, like, I think he's a main piece. I think he's a main piece on our defense, put it like that.
But yeah, I know that. But I'm saying, though, like, is his talent transferable as the number one defensive end anywhere he go? Like, is he Kavon Thibodeau?
I don't know if he's Kayvon Thibodeau probably gonna be top five.
Right.
I'm not even talking about Kayvon Thibodeau, but what I'm saying is he was splitting number one reps at defensive end at Georgia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you think he can basically make Notre Dame and other teams game plan against him where they said, okay,
yes.
You think so? Okay. No, I'm not arguing.
No, I really believe it. I think just again, based on what I did, based on what I seen, and based on what he did at Georgia, literally splitting reps. You know what I mean? With a guy who was equal to him, I think he can. You know what I'm saying? Like, based on, again, it's our line, but what we saw in the spring game, he was unblockable in the spring game.
I know it's
tough or whatever because our tackles or whatever it is, but I mean, but he did what you're supposed to do against bad tackles.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if he had struggled against those same poor tackles, we'd have been asking, you know what I mean, yo, is he really all that?
Right.
So he abused bad tackles, and that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And we ain't the only team with bad tackles.
Yeah, that's true.
And you got to think, like I said, Notre Dame's having a all freshman offensive line. He should win those battles.
Right.
So I think he should make a big difference on the end.
Yeah. Because I don't want to see a situation where Notre Dame decides to run right at him and then embarrass him, and then the rest of the defense say, well, that's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Because you have a situation where coaches like kind of like what Alabama did to Manti Te'o in that championship game. It was like, okay, he's supposed to be great. Well, we about to find out. You know what I'm saying? And they just kind of just took the soul from Notre Dame because they basically ran at their best player. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Teams do that. They'd be like, well, y'all calling this person number one pick, but they really a solid fifth-round pick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not really what you think he is. And we've seen teams do that last year when they did that Marv. not Marv, but Marvin Wilson. He'll just run right at his ass. And he's like, damn, if you're going to just run over the guy we thought was a first-round pick, I mean, that kind
of takes a lot of time on his back.
Yeah, that take a lot of steam out the rest of the defense. They're like, well, shit, what the hell can we do? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of concerning. I want to know what he's like against the run game. Because he's going to have to be stout at the point of attack. You know, because they're going to
really
run the
football. I really do think he is. Right. And I really do.
I don't know if
it's one of the few people I don't really feel, you know what I mean? I'm not – again, I could be wrong, but I'm not. I don't feel shaky on him. You know what I'm saying? Again, just because of the program he came from,
okay,
and what he did against SEC defenses. You know what I mean? He had production against. I mean, SEC. You know, offensive lines and offense talent. I believe he can come in here and produce.
Okay.
I think he'll be good. So, and I do think he's our best defensive player.
So I think we got a chance to stop them in the run game if the linebackers play well, man. But we're asking if
the linebackers play well.
Yeah.
When I mean, that's a lot of faith to be putting in. You know what I mean, on the linebackers who ain't played well in several seasons. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Guys was going untouched. They were running the same play over and over again and was going untouched over and over again. Now I would think that somebody's improved and somebody's learned some lessons. It's just hard for me until I see it. I can't just go off. I just can't go off of, all right, they definitely gonna be better this year. Not with the same coaching staff, same linebacker group, same everything. You know what I mean? It's tell me what I should be hanging my hat on when I say, all right, there's got to be a difference. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not seeing it. I'm not. Like I said, it ain't nothing I've seen, you know, from practice footage that it said, boy, those, you know, linebackers filling gaps or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And so for me, I'm saying, I hope they're better. I'm always rooting for us to win. I just find it difficult to believe they can, just because I don't know if we can score enough. All right, so let me ask you, what's the score? You know what I mean? Not even the score of the game. I mean, like, what's the if they get this many points, we don't have a chance.
If they get to 28 points, I don't think we win. Cause that mean they're running the ball damn good on us. If they get to 28 points.
Right, and I can't see us scoring 28 points.
I can see us. Yeah, you got a point. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't see us scoring 28 points. But it's hard for me to imagine they're gonna score less that Notre Dame's scoring less than 28. Because again, even if our defense is improved, I don't think we're improving by that much to be able to hold in Notre Dame under 28 points, even with a bad quarterback and a run and a running game. You know what I mean? Now again, if we stuffing the run and we forcing them to throw it, I think again, that's in my opinion, that's gonna be the strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stack the box, make the quarterback beat us. You know what I mean? Make them beat us one on one, make them go ahead and you know what I mean. Right. Hit Antonio King. Yeah. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, so in my opinion, I think we're looking at a lot of I'm not seeing these linebackers being able to step up. But again, if they're able to and they're able to stop the run and they force this quarterback into throwing the ball, I think this quarterback make a lot of mistakes.
Well,
I don't think his arm is strong, and I do think we have a chance of winning a low scoring game. You know what I mean?
Well, if there's ever a game
24-17 or something like that.
If there's ever a game for that DJ Lundy could possibly be good in, I think this is one of the games. But, man, Notre Dame, when you watch that tape from last year, man, Jesus Christ, man. I mean, those pulling guards are getting out of there, and I'm talking about they weren't even laying hands on people. They were just – it was like a beeline, dude. So,
that's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to get that image out of my head and say, all right, we passed that now.
See, I actually believe that, Darren. I actually do believe that.
Oh, no, I think it's close.
I think it's I think it's like 24-21 or 17-24. I think it's something like that. I think Florida State got a chance to win the game. I really do. That's just my opinion. I think it's a winnable game.
I don't know as far as winnable game. I do think it's possible for them to pull off the upset.
See, I'm more concerned about a team that can throw the football. That I'm concerned about more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like teams like that can just run the football at Florida State. I think we got a better chance against that, because I think when they kind of add them full of pass defense, when you look at these games, his games at Memphis and his games at Florida State, teams that can throw the football, like, really embarrass the shit out of him. Like, they really move up and down the football field, like, for lots and lots of yards. But, I just
I agree. I believe Notre Dame is gonna be really one dimensional. You know what I mean? And I agree with that. I think they can run the football. Or I think they believe they can run the football.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm not sold on their ability to pass.
Yeah. And Jack Cohen is terrible, dude. Jack Cohen at Wisconsin is not good, dude. So that's why I keep telling people, if he go out there, I'm going to tell you right now, if Jack Cohen go out that bitch and throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions, they need to fire the staff and just start over and just take the lumps on defense the rest of the season, because that dude ain't good. And if he's like, that dude is not good, dude. Like, I've watched him. I've watched that cat. I watched that cat 3 years in a row. He is not good.
I was going to ask you if somebody else was good, you know, who played for North Carolina State last year. But
Bailey Hartman. Well, if he looked like fucking Bailey Hartman, I'm telling you right now, there need to be some walking papers in that bitch.
Bailey Hartman. What I'm saying is Bailey Hartman wasn't good, and Bailey Hartman ate our ass up. So all I'm saying is I hear what you're saying.
That mean they haven't got better, though. So if you go out there and look like
they're right. Hopping, and that's what I was going
to
say.
They haven't got better. And if they haven't got better by game one and they had this much time to prepare, then, yeah, you need to – like, I'm not even joking about
it. Yeah, make some changes.
I'm not even joking when I say fire defense coordinator. I really mean after the game, you wake up on Sunday morning, it should be breaking news, Adam Fuller has been fired because Jack Cohen just threw for 330 yards. Like, it shouldn't be – I'm telling you, that dude is not
good. No, I agree with you. That dude
is not good.
Dude. I'm telling you right now.
Because that basically means if Jack Cohen throw for 300 yards.
Everybody's throwing for 300.
Then 400 yards is on the table for every game.
Every game.
400 yards is on the table for every game except for UMass.
JSU and UMass, huh? Are the two wins,
bro? That is not hyperbole, bro.
Nah, I agree with
you. That's not hyperbole. If Jack Cohen throw for 330 yards, 400 yards is on the table every game except UMass.
Listen, I can't disagree with you.
And I'm telling you right now, if quarterback throw 400 yards against you, your ass is not winning them games.
No, and that's what I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying? I am worried about it because they have, again, he's been out schemed every game we've seen him, you know, mm-hmm. go up against. He's been out schemed,
right?
And so my thing is, I just hope they have improved. And it's until I see it, I can't say, and that's why I can't give them that Notre Dame win.
Right?
If I see they improve and they've made some strides and things have changed, and I don't know, whoever is taking over the defense or whatever, and like Fuller just here, you know, to collect his paycheck, then cool. You know what I mean? Do what they got to do. I just haven't seen it,
right?
And so, if again, I'm rooting for it. I hope they've improved. I hope Adam Fuller is up for what, a comeback coach of the year, whatever reward he's supposed to get, mm-hmm. top five defense. It just hard for me to believe from what I seen last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? What I seen last year was guys running untouched while the coach was literally calling the same play over and over again.
Yeah.
I saw our guys lined up in the back of the end zone on a, you know, what is it, fourth and goal, a third and goal situation. Right. I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, third and goal from the 2-yard line. We lined up in the back of the end zone. I don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole lot of things that I can't give this guy credit for, because everything I saw last year said this guy doesn't really deserve any credit. You know what I'm saying? So let's just see. So all right, you saying Florida State wins 24-17.
Right.
And I'm gonna say,
well, let's go 24-20.
24-20. I'm gonna say Florida State loses 28-24.
All right. Cool. Jacksonville.
And now again, if it's a competitive game, they give up, you know, a late touchdown to lose 28-24, whatever it is, I'm actually probably not going to be that disappointed.
Right.
See, that, like, and that's what we talk, and that's kind of goes into our next thing, adjusting expectations. You know what I mean? Like, when we talk about the expectation for the season, mm-hmm. my expectation for the season is not really based on wins and losses. You need some wins. You need at least 6 of them, I think, to, you know, justify the, you know, keeping a lot of people around. But I'm not necessarily looking at it and saying, hey, man, they're gonna win this. You know, if they lose 28-24 against Notre Dame, after everything I saw last year, I'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a sad place to be as a Florida State fan. I don't say that happened.
We're going to get into that at the end. So we beat Jacksonville State, all right?
Yep.
Wake Forest. I think we lose to Wake Forest.
I think we beat Wake Forest.
I don't think so. Okay. Louisville. I think we beat Louisville. Yeah, I think we beat Louisville, right? All right. Mm-hmm. Syracuse. We beat Syracuse, right?
We beat Syracuse, definitely.
All right. So that's for me, that is a 2-game winning streak. For you, that'd be a 4-game winning streak.
That is correct. All right. You rolling.
Yeah, rolling. All right.
We throwing parties, especially if they beat Notre Dame too. Tell me they 5-1. Boy, we're gonna have number one recruit class in the nation. Let's go.
All right. North Carolina.
I wanna say we win it again because I still don't think what's the name is a good coach. And I do and they don't lost both them running backs. And that means it's all on Sam.
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. They better this year. Cause a lot of those guys that was playing, other than those running backs, was actually like true freshmen, guys they move, flip from one position to the other position. Cause I do that dude, Surratt, was actually a quarterback. They turned him into a better linebacker. Yep. So they actually got their full recruiting class of defensive guys in now. So I think they actually gonna be better this year. I think they got a chance to actually win the Coastal.
I think they win the Coastal.
I think they got a chance to actually win the league. Like, I think they got a chance to actually beat Clemson. I mean, but Mack Brown is Mack Brown, so him winning the conference
title. That's what I was going to say. Mack Brown is still their coach.
Yeah,
so
him winning the conference title is kind of like, he only do that shit like once every 25
years. He got our coach. You know what I mean? Like, that. I think he get out, again, I'm going to get 50-50, but I'm going to say they probably, let's just say they lose. I'm going to give them a loss just because they won, four?
I think they come in ready for that game, though. I think that game is personal. I think they come in ready for.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna say they lose.
All right. So then you get your shit back together against UMass, right? You
beat absolutely. UMass.
All right.
Yep.
Dabo.
We get that game.
Dabo.
Then we get this. That one's gonna be the COVID game. That's gonna be the Delta variant gets the team.
We need the Delta.
All gonna be out.
We need the Delta on that one.
Delta. The Delta gonna get that Clemson game again, and Dabo really gonna be mad. Delta gonna get us for that Clemson game.
Yeah.
We gonna be all right, but we gonna be back.
That number is gonna be ungodly, bro. That number is gonna be.
He ain't calling out the dogs. I'm just letting y'all know that. Like,
all right,
he is not gonna call.
NC State.
I actually think, we bounce back and we win that.
Nah, they lose against NC State, bro.
You're right. Clemson gonna beat them twice.
No, Clemson gonna beat them once. NC State gonna beat their ass the second week because NC State is just bigger and stronger and physical on the offensive line, defensive line. They just better on the offensive line and they got a better quarterback.
They do got
Hartman ain't even there no more. That's how much better the quarterback is. So if you saw what Hartman did, translate to what's gonna happen next year. That quarterback is a little bit better.
And no, we're beating NC State.
And that's really the problem.
How many wins I got so far?
And that's really the problem when you get down to once you get to October 30th, it's really the quarterback play that's gonna beat you these last five games.
All right, so I gotta miss six wins if they beat NC State. All right, cool. So yeah, beat NC State.
They're not beating NC State. I'm sorry, bro. It's just not gonna happen.
Nope, I gotta be NC State. Go ahead.
All right, Miami. So they lose against NC State.
All right. I think they lose to Miami.
Yeah, Miami's gonna be that's Miami Super Bowl. They already playing the war chant every day at the practice already. They hyped and ready to go.
I don't understand, dog. They got a whole man.
They ready to all go.
Right. We don't play them dudes to November 13th, man. Why you got the war chant playing in your thing?
Locked and loaded. Hey,
like dog, you, like boy, when you talking about living rent free, boy, that like boy, first they live rent free, man. Y'all Miami fans,
and that'd be a game to actually help save Manny Diaz's job, like the make him secure his job and everything. So they'd be locked loaded for the Miami game. All right, Boston College. Yeah. Now This is the big one.
That's right? At Boston College too, ain't it?
Yeah,
Boston College November 20th. It's gonna be cold and snowy. It's gonna be tired.
And they gotta get boys. They gotta get quarterback.
Yeah, them big old boys gonna be leaning on them dudes.
So this is what Boston, I heard. This is what I heard. I heard Boston
it's
College
gonna be one
defense.
Of them 30 to nothings again. That's gonna be one of them 30 to nothings again.
I heard Boston College defense though actually is not really good.
Honestly, Boston College ain't never really had a good outside of the Matt Ryan team. I don't know if Boston College has ever had a really good team. Boston College is just tough. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just certain teams just are tough teams. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Boston College got talent, but Boston College is just tough. They play Florida State tough. It's almost like it's opposing styles. You know what I'm saying? Like certain styles make fights. Mm-hmm. They just got an opposing style. You know what I mean? And I think us going up there in November is tough, man. It's a tough game for us. It's hard for me to believe that we win that one, especially coming off of that Miami loss. You know what I mean? You're talking about end of the season too, so there may be some injuries going on. Who knows who's starting well?
Yeah.
It's gonna be difficult, even with a tough defense. I mean, even with Boston College not necessarily having a good defense, it's gonna be hard for me to look at it and say, Florida State can pull that one off. I actually got us losing that one too.
Oh yeah, all right. Yep. So Boston College, then you got, of course, Florida.
Florida, we win that one.
You think we, so? You think what you think? Dan Mullen's out of there. He's leaving out. He's packing his bags up and shit, getting out of there.
No, I just think again. I think Emory Jones is what you is bad. I keep telling you people that Emory Jones and every report we've seen out of practice, Emory Jones is inconsistent. Emory Jones can't make the simple throws. Emory Jones don't. All I'm saying, Emory Jones is a bad quarterback, dog. I know he's made Kyle Trask look like a superstar. Kyle Trask made the simple throws. He was able to work this offense. Every time they brought in Emory Jones. Every single time they brought in Emory Jones, he would throw a pick, or he'd fumble the football. Outside of his ability to run the ball, Emory Jones is an ass quarterback, bro.
I'm gonna tell you something, bro. I've already said this. Emory Jones is not gonna be the quarterback for them the whole season. I told you this already.
Okay, so then Emory Jones beat out the ass quarterback beat out the other dude.
Richardson is good,
and he's supposed to be, and I'm supposed to be like, oh, okay, Richardson better.
You know what it is?
If Richardson were better, then Richardson should start day one. See, this like, again, it ain't about friendship. It's about wins.
This the Nola.
So if you're going to tell me.
This the Nola you.
No, it's not. I'm can't again, admit
that Florida might be actually just better, bro.
No. Florida, again, I think in certain areas are better. But here's the problem. What we've seen with Florida, Florida's team turns against each other. When the offense is good and the defense bad, like, you've seen the offense be like, man, we ain't finna put up 1,000 points if we can, you know what I mean, if y'all ain't gonna do nothing. And we've seen the opposite happen. And I think this is one of them seasons where the defense is gonna be like, yo, we holding teams to 12 points. We losing the games? This is crazy. You know what I mean? Like,
I gotta see an unproductive Dan Mullen offense. I haven't saw that in college football. That man normally puts up points everywhere he goes, every game.
And he has never had a quarterback as bad as Emory Jones.
Rich is gonna be the quarterback, bro. And by the end of the day, Rich, they're gonna be going two quarterback system for like the first 2-3 games, maybe 4 games, depending on how long Dan.
And so you tell me, so the true freshman is
he's technically like a sophomore now.
I understand.
So he's been there for a year.
He redshirted. Okay. So you telling me he gonna be the starter and he's better than.
And
Emory
then by
Jones.
The time he plays us,
for whatever reason, Emory Jones just keeps starting.
By the time he plays us, he's gonna be the starter, and by that time he'll be cooking. And Alan Fuller, if he's not fired, that'd be the game that we can all say, all right, go ahead and pack your shit up.
Listen, if you tell me Richardson the quarterback, I don't know very much about Richardson. You say Richardson better. I'm saying I don't know. What I do know is that Emory is ass. in all the reports that's coming out of camp confirms what I've been saying. If Richardson ain't starting and all the reports coming out of camp is that Emory is ass, then how in the world can you tell me that Richardson is better? I don't like unless football stopped being a meritocracy, then maybe I'm not sure I understand what's going on at the University of Florida. So hold on, Darren said UF gonna be doing exactly what we doing with their QBs.
Well, what are they got 4 legs for QBs over there. We only got 3. So that's a little different. That scenario is a little different.
That scenario is different. That's definitely a different scenario. I back up can't plant. I back up is not able to drive off that plant foot.
When he
tries it, those punts go up.
So I think that'll put him at, you got him at 6. I think that for me, I got him at 6-2, but I got him winning Notre Dame and losing Wake Forest.
Yeah, and I got him winning Wake Forest and losing Notre Dame. Actually, I got him at 7 if I really believe Florida. I honestly believe, man, I think Florida only wins, 7? Again, if you telling me they're going to give me those, if Emory starting those first 3 games.
Florida going to have a good defensive line this year.
They always have a good defensive line.
No, this year they're going to be better. Last year their defensive line wasn't that good.
Let me ask you something. Their cornerbacks still don't want to tackle? Because their cornerbacks don't believe in tackling over there. You know?
It was COVID defense last year, man.
Oh, that's right.
Ain't you been hearing about this?
6 feet.
Have you been hearing about the COVID defense?
No, you're right. You're right.
All across the country last year.
Yeah. All I know is Florida, them DBs don't want to tackle. Yeah. It ain't had nothing to do with COVID. Them dudes don't want to tackle.
If we win 6 games,
I got them at 6 probably realistically.
I wonder who the bowl game going to be against. I hope against like
Louisiana
FAU.
Tech.
FAU.
Oh, God, that'd be great. Boy, that'd be great. It'd be great just because I spend the whole time. Honestly, I would root for FAU just so I can have like great content to talk about on the podcast. Because we come in here, boy, we clown and make all sorts of jokes. Yeah. Well, that'd be my favorite episode ever. If for whatever reason, FAU beat Florida State. Matter of fact, I heard somebody say FAU were going to beat Florida.
Week one.
No. I think it's gonna be.
Somebody like. I mean, I ain't talking about like somebody credible. Like it was like, yo, I got FAU pulling an upset on Florida week one.
Mm.
Listen, if Emory Jones is quarterback, I think anything is possible. I keep telling you, anything is possible. If you're telling me, if Emory Jones is your quarterback,
Florida beats FAU, bro. That's not.
I think Florida beats FAU too. I think it goes to hell. I'm gonna be rooting like a motherfucker, though. Boy, I tell you, I'm gonna be in a popcorn and everything. I'm gonna be rooting. You can't tell me I ain't gonna be rooting for FAU.
So if the season.
Hey, Reggie, we all gonna be at Sam's house. I'm gonna be back in the city by then. If Willie wins, we all gonna be at Sam's house, and we just gonna, listen. You bring whatever it is you got, and we all go do it. We just go pod and just let the thought, let whatever come to our mind. We are gonna just let it flow.
And that part gonna be called Smoke Champs.
Yeah, Smoke Champs, and we just gonna have boy, and we gonna just let that thing fly. We gonna get canceled that day. They gonna run us right out of there.
I promise to God, we gonna get run out of there.
Yeah,
that day. But nah, we kidding.
What
man.
Was I about to say? Oh man, before we, Reggie, wild man. We need to do a link up at the crib though. That'd be nice.
I
would do something. I was kick something off college football Saturday, so I ain't do it this weekend. I was waiting for the next weekend to do it. But before we get off the pod though, is anything else you got?
Man, I mean, you want to talk about college? We ain't ending until you tell me why Georgia's winning the championship in a day and age where Georgia can't beat bad Florida teams or average Florida teams. And
they've only lost to Florida one time in 4 years, bro.
I'm mad over last year. Last year I thought they had the better team and they lost. Matter of fact, they had the better team and lost.
No, all their safeties got hurt before that game. Remember,
they did.
All their safeties got hurt. And they had COVID guys out during that week too, bro.
I do think Georgia's gonna be good, but is Georgia? So you tell me Georgia beating Clemson week one there because that's the only way they win the championship.
Hold on, before we get to Georgia.
All right.
If FSU goes 6-6, which we expect for them to go 6-6.
Yep. 7 with a bowl game.
Is it a successful season? Is it a good season? Is it building towards the right thing? How would you feel about it? It depends on who they beat
and how they look in the win.
So in my scenario, with them beating Notre Dame in the first game.
Successful season.
That'd be a successful season.
You've beaten a team you weren't supposed to.
And you beat all you the teams got to you your, supposed
you,
to.
You beat all the teams you were supposed to. You got an upset win and you beat everybody else you were supposed to beat. In my opinion, that's a successful season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So six and six with a win over Notre Dame. You upset a team, you beat all the teams you were supposed to beat. You ain't losing nobody you weren't supposed to lose.
In my scenario, it's a successful season if you beat Notre Dame and you fire Adam Fuller. If you do both of those at the same time.
I thought I was the one supposed to be talking bad about Adam Fuller, man.
I just want to be real. If they beat Notre Dame, which I think they can, if they beat Notre Dame game one,
but
and you get rid of Adam Fuller in the same season, which I think those last five games will give you every opportunity you need to get rid of Adam Fuller.
Yeah, but part of it's going to be also how they look in them losses, right? So if they beat all the teams they're supposed to beat, they pull an upset. Uh-huh. But if Miami blows the doors off you. Florida blows the doors off you. Boston College blows the doors off you. You had NC State, Clemson, North Carolina.
By then you find a defensive coordinator, and by then you like saying, "Hey, we just got to get a new defensive coordinator here. We good."
Okay.
We moving the ball.
Yeah, as long as Fuller gone at the end of that. Yeah, as long as Fuller gone at the end of that, then you're right. It's a successful season because if all the games you lose, you're not competitive in, then you run into the same thing we had a problem with Willie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't the fact that they were losing. They were losing the same way they were losing in season one.
All right.
So, in my opinion, I say the same thing. No, you like, if they still going out there getting the doors blown off them by every team that's competitive,
right.
Then, hey, that's not a successful season. But unless, like you said, they fired the defensive coordinator and prepared to get a new one.
Right.
But if you tell me You tell me that, hey, they won the games and they were competitive in the other ones. Yeah. All the other games were competitive. Mm-hmm. 10-point, you know what I mean? 10-point loss to Florida, you know what I mean? There was a dogfight with Miami, you know what I mean? And Clemson, I don't count that one. Boston College, even up there, it was a tough game, could go either way. You know what I mean? Like, you tell me they're competitive in every single game?
Yeah.
6-6, I eat 6-6 all day. But it's going to matter how they look in those games.
Yeah. If you fire Alan Fuller, I think you can get a pass. But, you know, if you bring Alan Fuller ass back, I think you're going to have to be on the hot seat next
year. No, they're not bringing Alan Fuller okay. back.
All right, so let's get to Georgia. Let's get to Georgia.
Hold on. Before we get to Georgia, Travis got a question.
All right, what's Travis' question? Hold on. You think we can win more than 6 if we somehow upset week one? I got us upset in week one and still winning 6. I actually don't think you're going to beat Wake Forest. I think Wake Forest.
And see, I actually got, that's what I'm going to say. If you got them winning Notre Dame and I got them winning Wake Forest, I think it, so that this does is, get them 7 wins.
So this
that,
is
that
my gets thing, them 7 this wins. This is my thing on Wake Forest. I know Wake Forest is prepping for you right now. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So yes. I know they're doing that. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I'm just gonna take a quick gander at Wake Forest schedule because I know they probably ain't playing nobody in the first. Yep. They playing Old Dominion and some team named North. So they're playing Norfolk State.
So
they play Old Dominion and Norfolk State, then they play FSU.
They got 3 weeks of game plan.
That's almost four weeks where they can game plan for just FSU.
Yeah. So they've been game planning. They actually been game planning for you all season.
And they got a senior laden team.
Wake Forest have a senior laden team.
They usually pretty damn good. So that's why I don't believe you're gonna beat Wake Forest. So actually, it's very important that he beat Notre Dame, because if he loses Notre Dame and then turn around and lose to Wake Forest,
yep.
Now you're talking about 5 wins, maybe 4 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Yep.
You know.
No, you're right. So, yeah, no, that Notre Dame game is important. You're right. That's right, because them Wake Forest senior teams, man,
When they get 3 years and 4 years to develop, man, those guys be pretty damn good.
Yeah, nah, they do. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna be pulling. I hope they able to pull upset.
Right.
I hope they able to pull upset. I'll leave it at that. Georgia.
So let's get to Georgia. This is going to be a deep Georgia team on defense. They're going to be really deep this year on defense.
They recruited really well on defense. The offensive line is going to be...
Nah, the offensive line ain't as great as it was the last few years.
Yeah, but they still recruited. They still got 5 stars on them.
But I think the most important thing that happened this year for them is that Will Muschamp is now on their staff. He's now the special teams coach, which by de facto, he's probably the defensive coordinator.
He's coaching defense.
And I think the thing about it is, him being a defensive, being on that defensive staff, special teams part, I think that frees Kirby up to leave the fucking defense alone and allow him to actually coach the rest of the damn team. Because he is knee deep in trying to coach that damn defense during game days. He's the Jimbo in 2011, 2010, 2012 thing, where he was trying to be everything on that on offense, and Kirby's trying to do all that on defense now. So I think that definitely happens, right? I think that frees him up. I think the offense is better because they was playing good when JT Daniels took over. When JT Daniels took over last year, they was playing better. They were throwing the football. The only problem is Pickens is still hurt, I think. So I think they got the first month without Pickens. So they got to get through the first month. That's why I think they actually can lose against Clemson and then get better as the season go on and win the SEC championship game and play in the Final Four. Because it is the SEC, and they put teams with 1 loss or 2 losses in the playoffs.
Are they beating Clemson week one?
I think they lose to Clemson week one, but I still think they got a chance to win the SEC championship. And if they do that, they will be in the national championship. And by then, Pickens will be back, and they'll be fully healthy, and I think they'll be the best team in the country by then.
So they lose to Clemson, they beat everybody else.
Let me look at this, and I'm pretty sure. Who's coming
out the West then? Bama. So they're gonna beat Bama.
So my theory is, I think Texas A&M actually wins the West. Which is
so probably Jimbo beating Bama.
Jimbo's gonna be the first assistant to beat Alabama. He's gonna beat Alabama. And they're going to come out the West, and they're going to play.
Lion season is in full effect. Who said Lion season? Hashtag Donda.
Donda just dropped. I mean, wait, click on.
Lion season is in full effect. Okay.
All right. That's what I think. And I think Texas A&M plays Georgia in a national championship. SEC championship.
In the SEC championship game.
Yeah. I really do.
Okay.
I really do believe that.
Okay.
Hey.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
I mean, I
could be wrong.
Listen.
Nick Saban has proven over and over again that none of that shit that works against him actually matters. But I think those teams are older.
Not one assistant has ever beaten Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's crazy. Ain't that a crazy ass stat, bro? And think about it.
No, because Nick Saban is the key. No, ain't no crazy stat because Nick Saban is the one who stirs that drink. Like, all them other dudes are replaceable.
My thing is, it's not like he got
sleepy.
It's not like he got bad assistants, though.
It's not about bad assistants.
I'm just saying he's just really great because, I mean, dude, Jimbo Fisher's won a national championship.
I hear you. I love Jimbo.
Kirby has been to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has good – people always be talking shit about his assistants. His assistants actually do have success, but they cannot beat this man.
And the same way I felt about Florida State, until they do it, I'm not seeing it happen. Like, I think Texas A&M has recruited well. I do believe Jimbo's a good coach. I'm just not going to say that Texas A&M is beating Nick Saban. And then I'm definitely not going to say that Georgia finna beat Nick Saban.
Right.
I'm not giving that one.
Right.
Like, Kirby ain't beating Nick. Kirby ain't beating Nick, and neither is Jimbo, in my opinion.
I think
Alabama is right back where they were last year, in the fold. And Clemson is right back where they were in the fold.
So
Ohio State is probably gonna be right back in the fold. And I don't care who the fourth team is. Y'all can figure out.
I think it's Georgia. Oklahoma, Clemson, and Oregon.
You're right, Reggie. He's sleep deprived.
I think that's the four.
He's sleep deprived.
I think that's the four.
Oregon.
Yeah, I think that's the four.
All right.
So if Oregon get in at four, they go ahead and get their doors blown off by Georgia or somebody.
Because let me tell you, as much as I don't have no respect for Oregon program. I'm finna lie. I respect Oregon program, but Oregon, every time they show up and they have to play big boy football from the South, they go out there and get their doors blown off and embarrassed.
Yeah.
So, all right, if you believe Oregon going to jump in there and get in the four, then okay, cool. And they can go out there and get their doors blown off by somebody. Okay. All right. So Ohio State ain't even making it then.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird, man.
I guess Nick Saban done coaching.
Nah,
Nick Saban don't stop coaching. Hold on.
Just because Saban lose a game to Texas A&M don't mean he's that, bro. We've seen him get beat by Auburn.
I've seen him lose a rivalry game and go to work the next year.
Like this, he can lose a game and it's not over, bro. He is a really great coach, bro. Like, think about it. When he lose a game, we think he's falling off. When he lose one game, we be like, man, is Nick falling off? Because he just lost
then he
one
bounced
game.
Back and win the championship.
And the next year they come back and go undefeated with the national championship. So I think
maybe this is year. Who's Alabama quarterback? Maybe
Bryce
this
Young.
Year. You're right.
Bryce Young, they quarterback this year, which Bryce Young was pretty good, but I just think they got a lot of true freshmen starting this year, which it really don't matter.
Every time they pull out a true freshman,
it's Julio Jones or somebody.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you about they got true freshmen starting. Man, that true freshman gonna be the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game. I guarantee you. Like he gonna win the Heisman this year. I don't even know his name. Whoever that wide receiver is who finna play for Alabama this week, who gonna play for Alabama this week,
is probably gonna win the Heisman. I don't know kid name,
but I guarantee you the boy is the truth.
All right,
because Alabama ain't wasting no time.
Yeah,
I can't listen. I'm going with Alabama winning it again. Honestly. Until Nick shows me something different.
If Nick went back to back championships, bro, if he went back to back championships at this point, bro, like somebody go take his whistle.
Go take his whistle.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Give
me your straw hat and give me your whistle.
COVID couldn't even take Nick Saban whistle.
Bro.
He's the only coach to get COVID and ignore all the protocols and was still coaching us. Hey, Nick, you got COVID on Thursday. You got to wait 14 days.
Bro.
14 days?
At this point.
I'll see y'all on Saturday at noon.
At this
sure
point.
Sure enough, Saturday at noon, the SEC, we was wrong. He ain't got COVID.
Like, dang, Nick, though, man.
Dog, at this point, if he do that, bro.
But Jimbo going to beat him. Man, COVID couldn't beat him.
At this point, bro, if he do that, bro, somebody tell him. Like, the NCAA didn't make a rule where Nick Saban can no longer coach in the NCAA anymore. Like, it didn't be like breaking news. Nick is retired because
Like, do what they did with that Chris Paul trade?
Yeah, just veto his contract, bro. Like, here's $25 million. Go home, bro. Like, just that's enough, bro.
They already bought your house. They already bought you some land.
It's a competitive disadvantage when Nick Saban's coaching your football team. You can no longer have Nick Saban on the football team coaching, period. Right. Blank, bro. Like, just, Hey, how did you feel about Tim Tebow getting his ass cut, finally waxed off the
Did you see the clips? We saw the clips, right?
Dude, he was terrible.
I saw the clips. You saw the clips. Again, I didn't think he ever deserved to be here. But, you know, Urban Meyer shot his boy some bail. You know, Urban Meyer, that's his homeboy. And so I figured, you know, Urban Meyer gave him a chance or whatever. And that was real nice of him. Mm-hmm. But I knew there was no chance on earth for Tim Tebow to make the team. My dad was like, nah, he going to make the team because he's Tim Tebow and they love him. I said, if Urban Meyer wants to lose all credibility, he'll let Tim Tebow make the team.
Right.
And so then – like, I didn't even expect to see, like, no highlights. I thought they were just going to kind of hide him and sneak him under the radar or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when dudes is pushing you down like you a child on the playground, you know what I mean? Like, the bully on the playground, he getting pushed down to the ground.
Right.
And getting swam by, like, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't even there.
Mm.
At this point, it was like, well, I mean, what can we do with this?
Yeah, he's pretty bad, bro.
I mean, he was bad.
Yeah, he's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
And but the thing is, we saw the practice footage beforehand, so we knew what was happening. If this is happening to you against the Walmart grocery bagger next week in practice, what's gonna happen? You got to go up against the starters for another team.
But like, football is, like I tell everybody, dude. We talking about the NFL and professional athletes, bro. It's hard to be a fucking professional athlete. Like, that shit is not easy. Like, when you say something, like when I say shit, like like, yeah, man, Carmelo Anthony sucks, man. He not good anymore. I'm saying that, like, as far as him being at the 1%. Like,
right.
I ain't saying he sucks like I can go out there and play with Carmelo Anthony. Fuck no. Like, the dude on the end of the bench, if we played a 5-on-5, I got my best five. He got some dudes down the street or some shit. He's getting buckets, bro. He's dropping 40 points in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Easy. Easy. Whatever that dude is, you'll know the name. He ain't played in the game. He even warm and say never came off.
And then
he will give you buckets.
Yeah, you think like, and I think Jerry Rice is a great wide receiver. You think Jerry Rice can lead the game for 15 years and come back and start catching 15, 20 balls in the NFL? Fuck no, bro. No, it's levels to this shit, bro. Like, no, you can't do that. Like, no.
Right.
I had this dude at work was telling me, like, y'all just got a problem with Tim because Tim is a Christian. I say, dude, do y'all think Tim Tebow was the first Christian to ever play in the NFL? I say, bro, Reggie White was a devout fucking Christian, bro. Was religious as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Would tell people not to even curse in front of him.
Right.
Reggie White was all fucking pro.
He told people and they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
And they didn't because Reggie White was a massive human being.
Yeah, bro. Like,
and everybody respected it.
Nobody gives a shit about Tim Tebow believing.
I mean, Russell Wilson.
Bro.
Russell Wilson, same thing.
Yeah.
One can play. And one game, it's just that simple. One can play, one can't. Like, Russell Wilson is still quarterbacking right now and being as Christian and as loving and all sorts of great to Sierra.
Dude.
Hey, ain't nobody mad at him for it.
Yeah, dude, that clip I put up with Colin Cowherd talking about Tim Tebow and how people just fall in love with stuff, dude. He hit the nail on the head with that shit, dude. He
hero
is so worship. Right about that, dude. He is so right.
Worship.
People go... Yep. People do not want to believe nothing bad about whatever they love. They don't want to hear. And it's the same with Florida State football. It's the same with anybody's favorite college football team, NFL team. Nobody want to hear the fucking truth, dude. Like, you know, like even like the Jaguars right now, they all hate Cam Robinson, right? They want Walker Little to be the quarter, the left tackle.
Left tackle.
And I kept saying, dude, this dude is not ready to play left tackle in the NFL. He's against second stringers getting pushed into the backfield, bro. Over and over and over again. I'm like, just because you like Walker Little doesn't mean Cam Robinson is not better than him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they get on these horses, man. They get on these horses and they stick with them.
It's the newer, fresher thing is not always better. Sometimes it's just newer and it looks a little fresher, but it's not better, man. It's not better, man. And I just find that shit be funny, man, because, I mean, anytime you talk about anybody team, about what they team don't have or do have, people get upset about this shit, dude. You know what I'm saying? They get upset about this shit. And I always tell people, man, have some perspective, man. Go watch other teams,
perspective?
Man.
Perspective? No, man.
Go watch other teams, man. You don't have to be a – You don't have to drink horse warmer, dewormer. You know what I'm saying?
All right, guys. All right. This is the Listen Up Podcast. This is the Listen Up Podcast. We're gonna see y'all next time.
But before we go, I want to say happy birthday to Nikki, my co-host for the So What's Next podcast.
Yes, man.
Happy
birthday, Queen Nikki.
I don't know,
man,
what the three is behind, but she just put 35. So I don't know if it's like 36, 35, 37. I don't know. She just put 35. So I don't know. I said, well, how old did you turn? 35, Sam. All right.
Hey, that could be anything. At this point, it don't even matter. Listen, yeah, man.
Happy birthday to Nikki.
Happy birthday, Queen Nikki, man. We
and you be back in Duval, man. So hopefully we'll do a show together.
Couple weeks, I'll be moving back. I'm actually headed in town today. Just, you know, I'm gonna spend the weekend in town, and then, you know, spend this Labor Day weekend, you know, with some family, whatever it is. So, you know, I'm actually headed back. I'm finna go listen to this Donda album so I can give y'all my thoughts. Y'all already know I'm a Kanye stan. I don't care if y'all believe it or like it or not. I'm finna go stream this thing, and I'm gonna enjoy every minute of it. And then I'm gonna lie and tell y'all it was great, whether it is or not.
All right, that's what everybody do, you know.
Yeah,
whoever you stand for, lie and say lie tell they do is great.
Yeah, all right, I'm gonna lie tell it's great.
Like we gonna do that when we win these six games. We gonna say it was a great season.
We gonna lie tell it. Yeah, we gonna
on the way
so
back.
I'm already prepared to lie. See, lie. Yeah, what do you say? Oh man. Oh, I told him, man, we appreciate it. We're always keeping it real. Better than, you know. Oh, man, that's what's up, man. Listen, we appreciate it, and we definitely finna lie about Donna. Antonio, man, we appreciate you. You said, again, Reggie, back channel, everybody who's listening live, those who are going to listen later, like I said, man, we always appreciate you. Now that the season's here, some things going to calm down. We'll definitely be more consistent, man. We'll probably do another one later this week. I think, you know, if we get some time or whatever it is, probably like right before the game, we'll break it down a little bit more in depth. You know what I mean? Like in the Notre Dame game, just some matchups to look out for and stuff like that. So, but yeah, man, like I said, as always, we love you guys. We appreciate you. This is the Listen Up Podcast.
This is our Listen Up Podcast. Yeah. Yeah.